live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 185. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, do I got to go on witness protection, man, because of the Colts fans on Twitter? I don't know, man. I'm doing all right, man, now, man. That was 24 hours later, man, but doing real well now, and, you know what I'm saying, ready to have a great, impactful show. So, man, you know what I'm saying? I know we'll get that here in a second, what I'm alluding to, but please, Brandon, give us the rundown.
Yeah, absolutely. Tonight's show, we got NFL talk this evening. We're going to hit a lot of stuff to get in the show. I hope we get it all in. I'm not sure if we will, but we've got NFL to talk about, some hit and misses from the weekend. A lot of news that came through the wire over in the NFL this weekend. College football, we'll hit on those quick, some of those games over this past weekend with college football. I'm still thinking DeCott is in the witness protection agency as well, because I have not heard from him. I hope he's okay after the Alabama Crimson Tide went down. Justin Powell, you as well. It's been deadly silent by the Alabama fan base over the weekend. So I'm a little concerned. Hopefully they're okay. So we'll find out more about that. And then we've got we're going to talk our picks tonight. Tanner will be calling in this evening around 7:30. We'll go through our picks in Major League Baseball postseason. We're almost have the entire NLCS set. Game 5 tonight, huge one. We'll be talking that. A little bit of quick hitters, John. NBA, God, it starts already up next week. We'll got a lot of news with the NBA. And hopefully you watch The Walking Dead now. You've caught up. So
I've caught up a little bit, but you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
I had a rough Monday night, man.
Yeah, so let's dive right into that. Before we actually talk about the game.
Hold on, man. We got two guests tonight.
Go ahead.
No, we have Indianapolis Quarter journalist, our friend of the program, you know what I'm saying, reoccurring guest, Danny Bridges. He'll be calling in tonight around 6:30 or so. And then we talking racing and talking coach, talking, you know what I'm saying, all those things that we usually talk with Danny. And then we also have a little bit after, top of the hour, about 7, we have somebody obviously near and dear to my heart at the nepotism rate. Nepotism probably going to jump up 1,000-fold tonight. We have track and field all-time great Tamika Borders from Ball State University. She'll be on the call with us at 7. So, like I said, Brandon, I know Brandon's super excited. That's what he means by he wants to get everything kind of put in tonight, because, like I said, 2 hours always is never enough, seemingly. But, like I said, you know, we're going to have a great show tonight. So, Brandon, without me rambling on and on and on, man, please get us started.
Yeah, absolutely. So, before we dive into the Colts game itself, Colts-Ravens game on Monday night that was two-sided, and I had some people chirping me about, Colts, I told you the Colts are going to kick their ass. I told you Colts, Colts, Colts. And then it flipped script, and it was like the damn cell phone service went out across the state of Indiana. But, John, you had a little tussle Monday night with the Colts fan base on Twitter.
Not a little, man. So,
all in it.
Right, so a good friend of another good friend of our program, JMV, retweeted my tweet about how I kind of saw the game. Now, unfortunately for me, like America, you know what I'm saying, Crossroads listening audience, when I'm watching a football game, you know what I'm saying, I might be over entertaining myself, because I'm not only watching football, I'm watching baseball. I'm not only watching baseball and football, I'm watching professional wrestling. I'm not only watching baseball, football, professional wrestling, I'm probably texting back and forth with you and a couple other people. So I kind of lost the pitch count of, like, when it is what it is. So I made a mistake, right? And, of course, on Twitter, you can't go back and re-edit your tweets, you know what I'm saying, re-edit your thoughts. So, you know what I'm saying, the only thing you can go back in and do is either, A, delete the tweet, which, you know, in some regards is kind of cowardice, right? Deleting tweet if you made a mistake. Or you know, if anybody's listening, that, you know what I'm saying, that's a punk that I had to deal with Monday night. But or you can kind of just own up to it and apologize. Not apologize, but just kind of own up to it and say, yo, this is what I meant. And that's right. That's exactly what I did. And you know what I'm saying? So the biggest deal was I thought the Colts had the big lead, a bigger lead than they did at the half. So the halftime lead was only 10-3, right? Not what I thought. 22. I thought they had scored 22 points in the first half and not 10. So regardless of the, you know what I'm saying, regardless of all that. So JMB retweeted it. I also in my tweet said that I point the finger at the coaching that happened that night from the head coach and the defensive coordinator and from the quarterback. And I know we'll get into it. I know that's not necessarily everybody wants. Nobody on radio or local radio here or kind of even nationally that pays attention to coaches kind of blaming Carson Wentz. My personal feelings as an extension of the coach, he's also responsible for the offense. And I seemingly I know he put up great stats that night. You know what I'm saying? It's his best stats in 6 years, everybody. And again, but I still don't think there's a connectivity. My personal feelings, I feel there's a connectivity and a command of the offense that he has. So with all that being said, and I know we'll get to that here in a second, man, for making that mistake of saying it was not 10-3, man, you would have thought I said, oh, my goodness, what is the worst thing? You would have thought I said something what Gruden said. You know what I'm saying?
Kansas man, culture, they came at you. Colts fan base came out of the woodwork.
Yeah, Colts fan base came out of the woodwork, and I had to go back. You know, and then they kind of got snarky, and I get it because they were emotional after the game, right? But they kind of got snarky, and here's what everybody needs to know: I'm the king of snarkiness, or I'm in the royal family. I can't say that to say I'm the king. I'm in the royal family of snarkiness, man. So if you're gonna get snarky with me, you know what I'm saying, I'm not gonna say anything about your mother, your father, or whatever picture you have. You know what I'm saying? Or if you say your dad, your family person, I'm not gonna go after that. I'm just gonna go after your logic, and I'm gonna make you feel like you're stupid. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna call you dummy as I was called, but I'm gonna make you feel like when you I'm gonna use your words against you, or whatever. So, but it was a long night because my phone was pinging all night. I guess you know what I'm saying, all you had to do was just kind of turn off your notifications or whatever. I found some of it entertaining.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
What I'm saying? But
then I started getting involved in it with you. I started slinging some mud. Because
right, Brandon,
that coward.
Yeah, last of the whole. Go ahead, Brandon.
As I started slinging some mud after you started sending it to me, I said, well, shoot, I got to get involved in this a little bit. The coward, which he's got an open invite if he wants to come on the show and call in.
Sure.
To defend himself,
which
I put a tweet out to him asking him to come on tonight. Cowardly didn't answer, obviously, but when you go back and you tweet that you probably just want to block back Jacoby Brissett, A, you sound like a dumbass. B,
right.
You even sound more like a bigger dumbass. And C, you go back and delete your tweet. Uh-oh, coward move.
Right, and then delete.
Grow some balls and keep it out there at least.
And then block me.
And then block you, yeah. And then blocked you.
I didn't start anything with this particular person, or persons rather, and I got blocked. I mean, which is fine. I don't care. I'll live another day by not reading your tweets. You know that you reshare from Clay Travis or whatnot. But it was a really entertaining night for Crossroads Sports and Three Foolish Men and Brandon Reef on Twitter. If anybody thinks Twitter is Twitter. Twitter is not necessarily always safe. I know the Congress and whatnot is talking about Facebook not being safe, but I don't know, man. Twitter sometimes can be, you know what I'm saying, real snarky. And I say that, you know what I'm saying, it was entertaining for me because I don't necessarily – I get emotional about some things when they kind of come at me personally. Obviously, of course, I'm a human person, but ultimately I have to remember these people just lost a game, you know what I'm saying, a critical game, and they're emotional. So
right.
You kind of have to look at it
well,
like that.
Yeah, and then it's also, you know, like the seasons change, fall, spring, summer, winter. As of today, I've already been started in with the IU basketball fan base. So, you know, I mean, I'm just putting out facts to the IU fan base. When you schedule 7 of your first 8 games at home in the non-conference, you're trying to fluff up that schedule a little bit for Mike Woodson to make him look good and get him some of those, make sure he gets some of those wins. so you can go to the NCAA tournament. So, yeah. And some people brought up, yeah, some of the games were scheduled way ahead in advance for probably for Archie to fluff that schedule because they know what kind of coach he was. But some of those other ones have been placed within the last year. So I was just simply stating the facts there, and then IU fan base has already started to come back at me. So it's like the rite of passage, the rite of the summer, the rite of the spring, IU basketball fan base coming at me. Let's do it. But speaking of coming at, John, I thought we were done Monday night, and, you know, it lingered a little bit into Tuesday with the Colts fans coming at you and whatnot, which I think you've distanced yourself now a little bit from the Colts as a fan yourself a little bit. I think you've gone to more of a professional side of it. I've noticed through some of your tweets. But then
a little bit,
and then I'm at work and I get notifications that you and your favorite nemesis of all time, Dan Dockett, are going at it a little bit. And and then I had to go back find myself, and this was the audio clip that that played that day.
Dan, 10 minutes in, and our guy, Dockage, has Grigson us to ad nauseum. I switched station, but between Clay Travis and Jim Rome, sharp-witted sports talk options limit, you wouldn't trade. You've been crying on here, three foolish men hiding behind a fake name forever. Just stop. You're a fraud. Just stop. You guys listen every day, and you whine. I would change. Oh, yeah.
So, Dockage has called you a fraud, hiding behind a fake name. You care to rebuttal a little bit?
I'd like to, man. I've called Dockage's show. He won't let me on, or the producers won't let me on. They got caller ID. They know who we are. I've said this before. They know who we are. Not just me, but, you know what I'm saying, Crossroads Sports, Brandon Reeve, Jonathan Burson as well. They don't really want to debate or have a back and forth. I do respect Dan to a degree. Like I said, I don't think he's as bad as an ist as some people like to paint the picture of. Like I tell everybody, listen to on this show right now, you listen to 5 minutes of Clay Travis, you know what I'm saying, you might want to take a shower afterwards. You know what I'm saying? Jim Rome is, you know, it's a ass show. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get good content out of there, sometimes not, my personal opinion. Dan Dockage called me a fraud. You know what I'm saying? This ain't the first time. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. At some point, we will lock horns, and at some point, he will get put in his place.
I love it. And from that sound bite there, I'm going to be pulling some other stuff out of there about calling. I'm going to use that line when I need to use it on something for you. I'm just going to click the button. It's going to say, you are fraud, three foolish men. You're a fraud. So I'm going to, thanks, Dan, for the sound clip. We will be using it in the future for different things where I need to get on Jonathan. All right, Colts-Ravens. Colts had the lead. I feel like they went in prevent defense. Ravens said, we're going to throw in the middle of the field. They forced Lamar and the Ravens to pass the ball. And I will give Lamar credit, being a Steelers fan and hating the Ravens. Lamar, the other night, he found Mark Andrews. The Colts never adjusted. Darius Leonard, supposed to be this all-pro, whatnot, made a hell of a play on the lateral, which it was a lateral backwards. I don't know where they saw it going forward. So the Colts got screwed on that. But Colts, looking like the old Colts, losing the lead, and then just lost the game in overtime. Made no adjustments, no changes. The team was tired. You had two timeouts. Didn't use any. The kicking game fiasco. My God, John, make sense of this game Monday night.
Who else? Hey, other than Crosby from Green Bay, nobody had a worse. No kicker had a worse, performance from a special team standpoint than Rodrigo Blankenship this weekend, right? And I know we'll talk about that game between Cincinnati and Green Bay here coming up. But, like, nah, man. So, my understanding of losing the score, you know what I'm saying, what time the scores and what all that baloney, man. Yeah, total letdown, total meltdown from the Colts as a team. You left points on the board. That's how I look at it. You know what I'm saying? You literally left points on the board, even in the first half. You know what I'm saying? 10-3, arguably, they could have been up 17, maybe even 21. You know what I'm saying? Just with the play. Brandon, I mean, again, like, I get it. I'm super critical of Carson. I've kind of come down on that just a little bit. He's not a turnover machine as I kind of thought he would be. We can criticize the offensive line that he's still getting hit on, but, like, damn, man, the offensive line sure is real good when it comes to run blocking, now, aren't they? So, you know what I'm saying? How do you address, how do you can you do both? You know what I'm saying? Can you get both? You know what I'm saying? On a consistent basis. Again, that's something that the coach staff needs to answer. I think he only took one sack. I know he took a lot of hits that particular night.
He's still doing that stupid underhand throw.
Yeah, he needs to get rid of it. He needs to stay away.
Get rid of it. Because he got grounding for
it. Right. What you have to look at, man, you know, the defense, we got to look at the whole game. Defense kept the running backs of the Ravens in check. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they had over 60 yards of rushing outside of Lamar. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's from the quarterback position. But I don't think they had over 60 yards. So they had the defense in check. The defense had the running game in check of the Ravens. But, for anybody who thought Lamar Jackson couldn't be an accurate passer, again, I always say this, Brandon. He's notorious. He will always either put it on the turf, which he did in this game, fumble, you know what I mean? Or he will throw an interception, which he did not do in this game. But he will give you opportunities, right? You just got to maximize them. And then, you know what I'm saying, what did the coach do? So the coach did ultimately scored on the fumble. But again, man, my personal opinion, they left points on the board. And my goodness, man, you know, you got to know, Frank, I get it, you're aggressive, but you got to know your staff. You got to know the temperature of the game. That's what I would say. Again, you're going for two, you don't have Andrew Luck. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't have super elite quarterback. You don't have super elite, even though my guy caught a great pass, you don't have super elite, you know what I'm saying, talent at the tight end position and even at wideout. So why are you going for two when all you need is to go up one? And damn it, Brandon, if they had went for the one, if they had just got the – I mean, I get it that the kicker was hurt, but damn it, he still hit two other field goals, correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
So if he is hurt, damn it, can't nobody else kick? You mean to tell me, even – I know sometimes, I know we don't like dual-action players so much anymore in this league, but damn, can't nobody else kick? You know what I mean? So, and then the mix-up when he wasn't out there, and the coach got lucky because when they went on one of his field goal hits was when they had the other guy was out there. I can't remember. Shame on me for
Rodrigo for or not Rodrigo, Sanchez or the punter.
Yeah, when they had him out there, and the coach got off, essentially got offside, and they got a chance to make it right. But honestly, man, you know, again, like I said, I go back to the extra point. The 2-point conversion that you didn't necessarily need at that time. It's not the time to get that right there. If it's the fourth quarter and the game is tied, I get it. You know, we want to go home, but you don't want to have a long extended game. You just want to get in and get out. You know what I mean? So go for it. But, like, you have to know the temperature. And he's done this before. It's not like he just did this today. I mean, I'm sorry. He did that the other night. He's done that before. Like, dude, what are we doing here? You're leaving points on the board, and it costs you. So, and then it did show, ultimately, that, you know what I'm saying, whatever Rodrigo Blankenship was going through, it persisted. And, honestly, when he got put in a position to win the game, it was just nerves. That's what it was. He had missed one on his own. Cassius Winston, but Calais Campbell blocked one, right? And then the last one was essentially just a nerves thing, and he hooked it, right? So I don't know. This is an epic fail on all phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams, and ultimately, I know the brunt of it has been taken by the defense, you know what I'm saying, this particular weekend with local media. But I think you got to lay that on Frank Wright and kind of start down from there.
Okay, yeah, there needs to be some accountability. I think Ursay might have still been drunk when he sent out his tweets yesterday. Saying that in the next decade, the Colts will have two more world championships, guaranteed two world titles. So we'll see. Interesting.
He's about to go back. He's about to go in the deep pocket and start. You know, saying he's gonna pull a Jerry Jones. I don't know, but yeah, that was kind of out of the blue. Yeah.
Yeah. Steelers Broncos, John. Steelers. We're back. We're not canceled. We're not canceled. We were brought back. We lost Juju for the season with a shoulder issue, shoulder surgery.
Oh, man.
But Deontay Johnson, Chase Campbell. Ben was able to throw the big ball, and he had some blocking, John. And the run game was huge with Najee Harris, who continues to just have a remarkable season. The Steelers not only won the game, John, but I felt like they won a couple more because Cincinnati lost, Cleveland lost, the Ravens were going to lose. It was going to be a clean sweep. But Pittsburgh gained on all those teams, so Pittsburgh only one game back now with the division.
Still, like I said last week, still a winnable division. The Ravens have been you have to be – I've also said this, man. You have to be – in winning football games in the National Football League, you have to be good and lucky. And, man, if the Ravens ain't been lucky, I don't know what, at least in two wins, right, against the Colts and against the Detroit Lions. They still have some issues they need to work out from a team – perspective, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't necessarily that they played a perfect game. They played a perfect comeback game, but given the opportunities that the coach gave them, right? But still a winnable division. As far as the Steelers are concerned, I told you, man, Mike Tomlin, man, he comes up. If the one thing that we criticize, you know what I'm saying, the losing teams right now is that they're in the league. I'm not just going to pick on Frank Wright. We can say Urban Meyer too. You know what I'm saying? If I'm thinking about AFC South, is their inability to come up with, you know what I'm saying, a game plan that, okay, this didn't work. What are we going to do next? You know what I'm saying? What is your ability to adjust to what you have out there on the field? Okay. I trust it. You kind of believe. You said it. You said you knew Mike, but you had to see it, right? And I get it. It's hard to say, well, man, we got blowed out, you know what I'm saying, by the Packers, man. It's hard to, you know what I'm saying, see what you said. You say an adjustment, and they talking about, you know what I'm saying, it looked like Big Ben needed to retire. And, you know what I'm saying, now the Steelers are kind of back into at least a competitiveness for that particular division. And, again, there's going to be at least two teams. I don't know if they'll come from the West. I don't know if it's going to come from the North. We know two teams ain't coming from the South. The only one team's going to come out of the South and win as far as the playoff is concerned. So, again, Steelers got life. And if you're a Steelers fan, you should hang your hat on that.
And Sunday night, we got Sunday night football this week. Week 6, Sunday night football in Pittsburgh. Seattle, who lost Russell Wilson for a month. Seattle comes to town. So an injured Seattle team coming against Pittsburgh. Hey, we could be 3-3 by the end of this thing.
Listen, that's
and by the way,
go ahead.
By the way, did you like my crying Jordan meme on Mr. Colts number one fan himself, Reggie Sykes? Because he's been pretty silent as well.
Man, Reggie Sykes is the king of karma bust, man. So he was crapping on everybody else's team that lost on Sunday. He called out, you know what I'm saying, who lost? Cleveland Browns fans. He called out. I don't necessarily follow everything he said. Anybody who
lost,
and then like the Colts lose, like dude, like this wait till the game's over, and then you talk your trash. Don't talk your trash. You know.
I think he was chirping mid game, so I had to put the crying Jordan meme on him, and then his Dodgers lose, and they're in a big game tonight now.
Big game, huge game, huge game tonight. I'm sure he won't call in tonight.
Yeah, well, hopefully he can get in. We'll see. Bears beat the Raiders. The Raiders don't have they have a lot of things going on right now. They're looking for a new head coach. John Gruden's comments that came out and some stupid emails that he sent 11 years ago, which I don't know why. Saying it's one thing. No, I'm not condoning it, but saying it's one thing. But then putting proof in emails to where, hey, emails are always traceable and findable. Hello. Doing that, can he sense? But I think he thought after Friday's thing, he was going to get away scot-free. They were going to get a nice win over the Bears, be 4-1, sitting pretty. He didn't resign. I think that's why the second set of emails came out on him, which forced him to resign Monday night during the middle of the game.
All this came about because of the investigation with the Washington football team, which that's the next shoe or potential shoe that whatever muck they kind of had with their particular team has kind of it's probably going to fall within the next month or so, probably, just be honest with you. But, like, the NFL found out, and they kind of put pressure on the Raiders. And if anybody thinks that's right or wrong, you know what I'm saying, it is what it is. They put pressure on the Raiders to say, yo, this is what you have here as far as the head coach. Can he? I mean, and he couldn't, and he couldn't explain himself out of it. You know what I'm saying? Even people with axes to grind, when their first reaction would be Keyshawn's, because I don't know about Randy Moss. I don't know about that. I don't. But Keyshawn, talking about Randy Moss's reaction. We have to talk about that off air. But like Keyshawn, you know what I'm saying? He has a legitimate axe to grind. Right, against, you know, some would say consider their history and him being kicked off the team, you know what I'm saying, going as they go through to the Super Bowl. But he kind of just told the truth, man. And he didn't say at first that he was a racist, but he said that was a statement that, you know what I'm saying, that is deplorable. And like, you know, saying there's no excuse for it. Again, how could you put that in email? Okay, it makes you, you know what I'm saying, talking with another NFL executive. That's crazy. How could you call Roger Goodell an MF-er? You know what I'm saying, or use the F word in describing Roger Goodell, or even some of the other emails that came out. Even some of the other things he said about Michael Sam, who, you know what I'm saying, there's always conspiracy theories about him getting.
He has a gay player on his team too, Carl Nassib.
Correct. Right. Which is crazy, man. So, I Gruden's done, obviously. There's no way for him, you know what I'm saying, to come out and say I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? That he showed a pattern of being. Just being a knucklehead. I mean, I can't call it knucklehead. Just being living in the past. You know what I'm saying? Of being, you know what I'm saying? So he's gone. I don't even want to, like, you know what I'm saying? I can't even throw him a rope. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he meant this, that type of thing. Like, nah, dude, this dude's just a bad person. You know what I'm saying? Behind closed doors, he's going to smile in your face to tell you what you want to hear. And then behind your closed doors, it's a different situation. So players. You know, many African-American players said, you know what I'm saying, when they put a microphone and camera in front of their face, said, I had never experienced John Gruden like that. You know what I'm saying? And then the emails popped up. So I don't know, man. You know, it's unprecedented. That's what it can be said. At one point, I kind of respected John Gruden as a coach, you know what I'm saying, as a personality, as somebody who knows, you know what I'm saying, the game of football. But you know what? All that's out the window because now, you know what I'm saying, he's been exposed. So there you go.
Yep. Real quick, Chiefs-Bills game. Bills just – Chiefs defenses, Swiss cheese, as we used to call some other defenses. And the Bills are a powerhouse of a team, offensively, defensively, special teams. They're looking really, really good, John, to build on last year.
Yeah, it's crazy, man, that they only have the one loss is to who? The Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, baby.
Right. Man, they went into Kansas City. I had made a mistake, and I think in a different pick'em. Shame on me, man. A different pick'em from Crossroads Sports because I missed my Crossroads Sports pick'em. I took Kansas City to get back on board because I thought the game was in Buffalo, and that wasn't the case. They went into Buffalo's house, and from what I get, man. Like, Kansas City would need 2 weeks to fix what the hell's going on in their secondary. You know what I mean? And there's only one bye week, I do believe. You know,
I know Frank Clark was out. It's been injury. But still, that defense is god-awful, John.
Yeah,
I don't know what's
happened. And they just expect Patrick Mahomes to just be out there and throw home run hitters, you know what I'm saying, in two or three plays. And that's not – I'm not saying that the league is kind of caught up to Patrick Mahomes. He didn't necessarily have a great statistical game against the Buffalo Bills, but you can't win football. Again, there ain't no steel wall coming. There ain't no steel wall like Pittsburgh Steelers, and there ain't no 85 Bears defenses anymore. But your defense has still got to be, you know what I'm saying, capable of getting your offense and making stops and getting your offense the ball back.
Absolutely, yeah. Totally agree, John. All right. We're going to switch gears real quick. Our first guest can be coming on here in a second. Friend of the program, John. Had him on a couple other times. Love having him each time. Welcome again, Indianapolis recorder, sports journalist Danny Bridges joining us. Danny, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Enjoying the day. Ready for these – loving this fall weather.
Yeah, anytime I don't have to turn the furnace or the air conditioner on, I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Danny, I want to dive right in with you. So I got a lot I want to cover with you. We want to cover with you.
Well,
the IndyCar.
Before we get started,
can I
tell you something real quick? I'm at the Pacer game. I've tried to find the quietest place I could to talk with you guys. So if there's a little background noise, please forgive me. But go right ahead, young man.
Yeah, no worries. Let me know if they don't have enough players suiting up tonight. I'll swing down there.
I got plenty of guys that aren't going to be around here in another week or so. So you're good.
The IndyCar season just recently ended, and Alex Palou winning the title. It was an all right, I thought, season finale race, and the drama kind of got taken out of it with some of the top contenders crashing out there towards the end. Overall, this season, with all the different types of winners, the young guns that are starting to move up, overall, what was your – if you had to put this season and put a title with it, what would that be for you?
Well, I would say, considering how the pandemic impacted last season, I thought this year really came on strong and came back well. 145,000 people were allowed at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That was a big boon. Things kind of took off from there. When you have that many different winners in a season, that's nothing but good for this series. Palou is a sophomore, wins the title. That's something no one expected. But when is the last time that Chip Ganassi, Roger Penske, or Michael Andretti messed up on a driver choice? That's why those teams are always good. In addition to the resources they have, is they know how to evaluate and hire talent. So was it a surprise Palou won? Yeah, it was. But he made his mark early in the season that he was going to be a contender. And how smart could the guy be? I mean, he didn't put a wheel in the wrong place the last race of the year at Long Beach, ran well, did everything he could, stayed clean, finished fourth, and took home the trophy. So in retrospect, I thought it was a really good season. TV ratings inched up a little bit. It's dependent upon what market you're looking at. But all in all, a lot of good things, and I think a lot to look forward to come February at St. Petersburg.
Okay. Colton Herta won, I believe, the last two races. You got to believe he's probably going to be one of the early favorites to win the title next year, and even the Indy 500. Again with Andretti.
Well, certainly. I mean, he's a mega talent. He's got a lot of resources behind him now. I wonder, if Michael Andretti does acquire the Alfa Romeo Formula One team, could this guy be ticketed as a driver for that team? I think that's a distinct possibility. He's made it clear, he being Herta, that Formula One is a dream of his. But I'd hate to see him go over there to a team that wasn't a front runner and get caught up in the back of the field on a constant basis. But I do think he's going to be back this particular season, and I think you're right. He is clearly the favorite to win the title, the driving championship, and certainly he's got to be one of the top two or three guys you talk about to win their first Indianapolis 500 as well.
Danny, I know Jeff Newgarden finished second in points overall. I know Scott Dixon still finished like top five or so, right? But is this potentially a changing of the guard? Are we seeing a youth movement in IndyCar?
Absolutely. You can't count Scott Dixon out because, he keeps himself in such incredible physical condition. And people don't understand how difficult it is to drive an IndyCar to begin with, and then the physical demands on one's body, the G-forces, and what it takes to simply drive the car at a high level. It's hard to win a race, let alone a championship. Scott Dixon will be a contender next year. So will Will Power. So will Alexander Rossi be. But you hit the nail on the head. You've got some young guns. Pato O'Ward, Alex Palou. Those are the two guys to keep an eye on, along with Colton Herta. But I do think the guard has changed, and I think it's good for the sport. And are the veteran drivers forgotten? No, they're still capable of competing, winning a championship in any specific race. But I think all the attention has to be on the young talent, and I do think the card has changed.
Well, it's funny that you say that. You still got some old drivers because the last time we actually talked to you was right before the Indy 500, and that weekend, Helio Castroneves won, putting him in rarefied air with I think only people that won like four is like Al Unser and AJ Foyt. I know I'm missing somebody. Maybe Rick Mears.
Rick Mears.
Yeah. So what was that like? How can we put Helio? You know what I'm saying? I mean, not necessarily in the top 10 as far as points in this, as this, you know what I'm saying, this year is concerned, but like, how can we put that particular win into, let me put it like this. What was your thoughts around Helio winning?
Well, it was monumental. It was unexpected, number one. Number two, mm-hmm. It puts him in the rarefied air that you talked about as far as only four guys being four-time winners. Listen, he'll have a full-time ride next year. Simon Pagenaud is joining that team as well. They're going to have the ability to exchange data and setups. So Meyer Shank Racing is a legitimate contender to win the title next year with those two drivers. It would not surprise me at all if Simon Pagenaud won the driving title next year. Now, some things have to fall his way, but certainly Castroneves will be in the mix. Again, these guys are older than the young guns, but they're in incredible mm-hmm. physical condition. They're smart. They're well-prepared. They very rarely take themselves out of a race. So, I think the guard has changed, but not in a dramatic sense to where these guys that we just talked about are forgotten and no longer capable of winning a race and or a championship.
Okay. I got one more about IndyCar before I let Brandon kind of take over. It's ironic. You posted something on your Facebook page about Formula One. Is there preparing for our interview today. I know race car drivers, you know what I'm saying, tend to look at it and see, oh man, see if they can test their skill set over, you know what I'm saying, NASCAR and Formula and other brands of racing. Who's probably on the next, you know what I'm saying, if you had to guess, who's probably next to kind of go over to maybe from Forbes to, you know what I'm saying, from IndyCar to Formula One, if that is meant to be?
Well, I think O'Ward and Herta have to be the top two. O'Ward's got a direct pipeline to McLaren. He runs McLaren cars here. They've got a successful, stable, highly historic Formula One team in place. Certainly, if Andretti acquires Alfa Romeo, then Herta's going to be talked about as a driver on that team. But, look, those are two guys. But there's other guys who certainly would be capable. But things have to be right, and there's so much competition in IndyCar. Things are so healthy.
Right.
As a guy who might want to make that move, I would have to be, if I'm one of those two guys, with a team with deep pockets and who can give me resources, who can test, who can develop, who's got a chassis and an engine combination that's going to be competitive day one before I'm interested in going over there. The key, Jonathan, between IndyCar and Formula One is the driver's salary. You're going to make an enormous amount of money in Formula One driving, okay? You're not going to make that kind of money here. For instance, Colton Herta is probably making somewhere between a $5 million and $2 million with Andretti Racing. If he drives Formula One, that number is going to go up to $5 million easily, and maybe more, depending upon the term of the contract. So the money is there, just as the money in NASCAR is greater than IndyCar. But where a guy wants to be and what his objectives are sometimes will drive a decision that can be difficult if they're not in top flight equipment.
Okay. Perfect. Right. Danny, a couple on the NASCAR circuit. Do we think we just had the Roval this week where we cut it down to 8. We had the drama with Harvick and Chase Elliott that hopefully has been put to bed now, but I know TV and the ratings and stuff wanted to continue next week. I'm hearing a lot of people chirping the fact that this playoff format we've seen for some time, there was at one point in this race, Kyle Larson, who's dominated pretty much the entire season, was going to be eliminated and left out of the top 8 based on the performances of the last couple races. Are you a fan of this type of format, or should they go back
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, I think guys who compete the entire season, and as you use the word dominate, Larson has been incredible this year. I think those guys should get a bye right to the championship round based on the criteria. Okay, how many races did you win? How many poles did you achieve? That kind of thing. You got to protect those guys. You can say, well, hey, wait a minute. It's we reshuffle the deck and everybody starts from scratch. That's fine, but you've got too much tied into sponsorships and too much tied into season-long achievements for someone like that to miss the race. That's an excellent point you make, and it was greatly concerning to me as I was watching that, thinking, come on, man, you got to get back up here. And it would have been catastrophic from a public relations standpoint and from a pure racing perspective had that young man been left on the outside looking in. That's an excellent point, and no, I'm not a fan of that. But then again, how are you going to determine who gets that buy and how many buys are you going to issue? I would say maybe two at the most, but certainly I can guarantee you one thing, NASCAR breathed a lot easier after the race when he advanced.
Yeah, absolutely. Last one. I have like 50 others, but I'm going to take it to one since we're going to get you back to the Pacers game. It's getting ready to start. Monday night, the epic collapse with the Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. Me and Jonathan have talked about it. Now I want to hear from your side. Who's more at fault for this Monday night collapse? Is it the defense in Eberflus? Is it Frank?
Well, I think there's plenty of blame to go around, but I'll go back to what I said before the season started. And I thought the Colts were a 500 football team with a healthy Carson Wentz and without any injuries to key players. Now, some people said, whoa, wait a minute. That's too dismal. Well, you know, now they're going to say, well, the reason they're not is because of all these injuries. I think TDI comes into play with every professional football season, talent and injuries. And certainly the Colts have some talent. They don't have a lot of depth, and they've certainly had some injuries. So I was a little surprised at how well they played, quite frankly, at Baltimore. I thought they were in for a really long night. They took the bull by the horn early. That big pass play that Jonathan Taylor took to the house set the tone. I don't think it's time to throw the talent on this team yet. They've got some tough games ahead of them. They've got to play Buffalo this year. You know, they also help me out here. They've got two or three other games that are going to be difficult. They've got to play Tampa Bay. Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, but they should win this Sunday at home against Houston. You would think so. And I think they've got more than just a puncher's chance on the 31st of this month at their next home game as well. So as far as who's to blame, you can spread that all around. I thought the offensive line, considering its patchwork to some degree, played fairly good football on Monday night. And again, that's a game they should have won. No question. It hurt them that their kicker, you know, came up lame, physically speaking, toward the end. But, you know, it was a much more entertaining game than I thought. I thought that the Ravens would run roughshod, but that didn't happen. So I don't think Colts fans should throw in the towel yet. But, you know, Chris Ballard, is his seat even getting warm? I don't think so. I think he's enamored by Jim Irsay along with Coach Frank Wright. Those guys, if the wheels came off the rest of the season, their jobs are still safe next year. But next year would be a watershed year for them, considering that fact. But, man, as far as who's on the blame, there's plenty of places you can rub the blame around. I think you just spread it evenly and try to put it in the rearview mirror and get ready for this week's game.
Okay, perfect. John, do you have anything else?
I do, man. Danny, you're the only person outside of myself that still has an AOL account, man. My family gives me a hard time. My family gives me a hard time for still having an AOL account, man. Does anybody give you a hard time?
They do, and here's what I tell them. The first computer I bought came with a year's free subscription to AOL back when you had to pay for things like that, right? And I established an email address, and I've kept it. It's always worked, and you know what? I'm old school. I really don't care what anyone thinks. The older I get, the less I care about what people think, about how I look, how I see, how I do, whatever the case may be. It's a young man's world. I'm not young anymore. You know, I'm just living in a young man's world. But I'm a proud AOL address holder, and I'm going to take that one to the bank to my dying day.
Same here, man. Well,
there we go. Good man you are.
It's been great.
I'd like to say one thing real quickly to you. Tomorrow I've got a story coming.
Out
about Rick Carlisle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll be interested in taking a look at that. Perhaps we can talk down the road about that, but it'll be out of the newspaper tomorrow. And it's an open letter to the Pacers ownership regarding Rick Carlisle. So take a look at that and tell me what you think, okay?
Can't wait.
Probably share it on our socials for sure, Dan.
Absolutely.
I'm probably the only one in town who thinks this way, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that either. Guys, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Hey, I heard they got a new soft serve ice cream machine in the media room, so enjoy that.
I saw that, and I saw some bananas, too. By the way, this is the first time I've seen the remodeled field house. It's not completely done yet. I think that's a combination of upgrading it and getting ready for the NBA All-Star game, but it's really super nice looking so far, and it's not completely finished, but the parts I've seen tonight have been incredible. Let's just simply say the furniture and the carpet in this place is a hell of a lot nicer than where I live at.
Love it. Awesome. All right, Danny, enjoy tonight. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk soon.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
We will talk soon.
All right. That's Danny Bridges, Indianapolis reporter, sports journalist, friend of the program, as always. John, we go from one to another. Our guy, Fred Feldner, KFAB Connection. Fred, how are you?
What up, though, Crossroads Sports? I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
I thoroughly hated what I saw Sunday, but I thoroughly enjoyed your Instagram video story.
Oh, glad I could spread cheer amongst friends and family on the IG stories. Yeah, I mean, that's like my wife, you know, already knew. Like, she knows me better than anybody. Like, after the game, she heard me laughing in the living room, and she's like, the line, because I'm going nuts when they scored and got the 2-point conversion. But I even called it out, like, real time I'm watching it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm excited, but there's still 37 seconds on the clock to lose the game. So it was one of those, I already expected it. And then she heard me cracking up. They lost. And I said, yep, they lost by a field goal again. And then I ate chili and cleaned my house, and my Sunday went on. And that was it. Like, that's all there was to it, you know.
Yeah. I was shocked, and as soon as I saw it, I said, I feel like there's way too much time left in this, and unfortunately, yeah, the way it ended, but hey, Lions are going to Lions, roar, we got another week. I talked to you on Twitter, you don't cry in football if you're the coach that's talking about breaking legs and breaking kneecaps off and all this, and then now you're already crying 5 weeks in the game, like... Come on.
Well, I mean, we kind of had a little spat on Twitter about that. I mean, there's a lot of layers to that statement. I mean, first and foremost, I kind of joked about it. Like, if you're getting emotional about a loss, like, I stopped being emotional before they even went 0-16. Like, I stopped feeling emotion about this football team in, like, 2002. And here we are, like, in 2021, you know, like, so losses don't affect me emotionally like they used to. Before, my weekend would be ruined. My week would be ruined until they rip my heart out again the next Sunday. But this has been a hot topic, especially as far as Detroit sports is concerned. People going back and forth, of course, 24-hour news cycles, you need something to sensationalize. It's a layered thing, but honestly, for me, as a man, I don't buy into that whole suffer in silence crap. I think if you're emotional, you're emotional, be emotional. I like people that show emotion. I don't respect, nor am I entertained by people that pretend to not be emotional as if they're like a robot or something, because that's the quintessential like trait of a man is to, you know, not show emotion. And let's face it, either way, he's going to get roasted about it. If he doesn't show emotion, oh, I wish he would show more emotion. If he shows emotion, oh, you know, that's not manly. That's this and that. And it's like, it's there's always going to be that talk. So for me, I would rather have a coach that gives a crap and gives a damn because he's a former player. He played for the city. He feels the pain that this city has felt for up 10 years, playoff win, 60 plus years. And it's laughable at this point when you lose like that in such an epic way, and you always find a way to shoot yourself in the foot. I think for that, it's bigger than football, man. It's like, I think the emotion is more than just what happened on the gridiron. I think the emotion comes from like seeing 70,000 people that are as blue collar as it gets in there, just giving their everything, waiting, hoping, salivating over, like, can we just, I mean, winning a playoff game is a goal, not even a Super Bowl, but like, or sniffing a Super Bowl, just winning a playoff game So there's so much emotion from all these people in Ford Field. That emotion carries over when you've already been part of this organization, you know the culture, and you understand the city of Detroit and how much their sports teams mean to them. It's sport. I said it to my wife when I met her. I said it to a friend like Hoosier Friends, that who I respect and love, that sport, it's just – sports are different in Detroit. It means – when hoisting a trophy over your head in the city takes away all the negative. It takes away all the negative press, all the Pawn Stars and the Detroit 187 and the murder capital and, oh, they're burning buildings down. Like, hoisting a trophy over your head wipes away all that stigma for at least a summer or that year. And it's just, it's bigger than sports in the city. And those teams mean everything to us. So that is my Homer is, you know, Detroit explanation of Dan Campbell. Like, didn't bother me in the slightest.
Yeah, I respect that. With Fred, the day before, I almost, my stamp of approval on the Michigan football program almost kind of came crashing down, man. They won. they got it. I mean, Nebraska had to play this well since Scott Frost got to Nebraska. So they took Nebraska's best punch on the road. I know nationally nobody, you know what I'm saying, they, you know, so naturally the temperature of the room was like, well, you know what I'm saying, Harbaugh, you know what I'm saying, it was like, well, if they had lost, then Michigan's not, you know what I'm saying, Michigan ain't crap. That's what they would have said. But they won. Now that they won, they've kind of ignored. But you have to win the games in front of you, whether you win by 3 or 33. So I think it was a good win, a good road win. Like I said, they took Nebraska's best punch. They got some tough games coming down the pipeline, and you're going to be playing a Penn State that wants to jump back up into the top four. You're going to be playing a Michigan State who's undefeated and wants to, you know what I'm saying, wants to say that, you know what I'm saying, declare that they're back. And of course, the end of the season, they play Ohio State. So, I don't know. Did you watch the Nebraska Michigan game?
Oh, absolutely. I've been on vacation for 2 weeks, so I was watching from my phone for 2 weeks. But
gotcha.
This was the game finally that I was able to sit down and, like, digest everything. The offense is definitely shaky. That concerns me, especially when you're trying to score more points than Penn State, Sparty, and Ohio. Ohio's offense is crazy. The defense, that's another can of worms. But their offense is crazy. Michigan State's offense is crazy. They pulled off two just insane plays last week, just explosive. And Penn State, you know, that they're where they're ranked for a reason, and they lost to a great Iowa team. So,
right,
they got their work cut out for them. I did not foresee them being undefeated at this point. I was, like most of the Ann Arbor faithful, ready to just show up with the pitchfork at the director's house. You know,
that
like,
ain't what you got on.
I did not.
Yeah, that's
understand
not what
they
have
the
this
re-signing.
Year. They're legit top 10 for sure. I will say that. You know what I'm saying? They're not necessarily the greatest. I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad quarterback play, and it's not bad defensive play at all. They got a great rushing attack with their running backs, and even when they pull the quarterback into you know what I'm saying, make him a runner. But I thought it was an epic win, a great win. It 12 years ago, that would have been like big play, you know what I'm saying, a big news, like Nebraska beat Michigan, you know what I'm saying, Nebraska, you know, I'm sorry, Michigan beat Nebraska, and now it's kind of like a blurb. So I'm a Big Ten homer. More Big Ten teams that are, you know what I'm saying, potentially getting ready to knock off SEC or whatever, you know what I'm saying, that stigma I'm for. So, Fred, I know we are kind of pressed because we're going to an ad read. I just want to get your thoughts about tonight and what tonight's preview for AEW.
There is nothing tonight, John.
Well, yeah, AEW is on Saturday. They're doing a double shot in Miami this weekend. They got Dynamite on Friday, or excuse me, Rampage on Friday, and they got Dynamite on Saturday. The big news for AEW right now is that Tony Khan announced on a radio call that they're doing a buy-in for Rampage on Friday. So they're going to start at 9, which that's that's him dipping his toe into competing with SmackDown.
Well, they might as well. The ratings are low. They had an all-time low last week. They better do something. This is pretty much
a
glorified Thunder.
All-time low for a show that's been around for like 2 months.
Well, I mean, if this was, we talked about this show being high and all this, but, I mean, if you look at the ratings, it was below SmackDown. Hell, I believe it was below Raw if you can compare the two.
Yeah, but that's like apples and VHS tapes, like a company that's been around 2 years versus a company that's a foundational company that has like billion-dollar backing from like Fox and stuff like that. I mean, the numbers for TNT and the expectations are different from Fox. And if you look at that stuff, I mean, the Fox people aren't happy with what WWE is presenting to them right now. They're not happy with the SmackDown numbers. They're not happy with the storylines. They're not happy with a lot of stuff. So if you break it down that way, but being top five in cable on a Friday night at 10 o'clock is not like, oh man, the company's going under, or like danger zone of ratings. Like, their ratings are fine. They're not going to get 2 million viewers on a Friday night at 10 o'clock.
Right.
And WWE sure isn't, because their median age range is like, what, 52? So, like, I think they go to bed after a Wheel of Fortune comes out. So they're not going to watch a 10 o'clock show. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, and Tony Khan brought this up on the radio show, is that back to like UFC, because he's friends with Dana White. The next pay-per-view, Full Gear, is on a Saturday because he doesn't want to compete with the NFL. He's a part owner in the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he, in the nature of competition, is not in the nature of like cutthroat and going out there and doing whatever. But when WWE starts doing commercial free and starts breaking into that stuff and getting into that territory, that's kind of what sparked him to do the full buy-in show, which Lee Moriarty versus Bobby Fish, and then Minoru Suzuki versus Bryan Danielson. If you don't want to watch community theater with the Bloodline, you can turn on and watch some wrestling on TNT at 9 o'clock on Friday.
So. What's that? That's what's up. Brad, it is always a pleasure talking Detroit Lions and Michigan football or Detroit Pistons and everything in between with you, man. Until next time, man. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Brad.
Hey, and let's get some hockey talk next time, dude. The Kraken. I'm like, that's my B team this season. I'm pulling for them.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby. Seattle hockey.
All right. See you, Fred. All right. Fred Feldman, KFAB Connection. John, we got a couple of ad reads. We come back. We have our other guest, Tamika Borders, be joining us here momentarily.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of Peekaboo and Duck Duck Goose, because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born. Specialize in customized motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shippings worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com, or go to their website. Well, I just said it once more, maverickcustommotorsports.com, for more information. It's which I get for doing two things at once. They carry all the top things: custom motorcycle builds, custom accessory installs, LED lightings, custom wheels, and more. Carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today. Give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628, or the MavericksCustomMotorsports.com website. Tell them Crossroads Sports sent you. I'm sure they'll love it. They might even give you a discount. You let them know. Maybe. But you got to give them the secret word, Crossroads Sports. And they'll get you that, hopefully, maybe, take care of you. So,
right.
But thank you, Maverick Custom Motorsports, also been a loyal sponsor for us on this show, them and Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And, John, you have our other new sponsor.
Dude, our other sponsor, basically wants to let everybody know that they are hiring. Three Wiseman Logistics, locally based Amazon delivery service here in the Indy market. They are hiring. You can call them today, get you a job. They're looking for drivers, looking for warehouse workers, all that, all those things to kind of come. This is, they're going into the business season. They need people. And, hell, I don't know any Amazon. You know what I'm saying? They're always busy, right? So anybody looking for a job, part-time or full-time, call this number, 877-744-6212. That's 877-744-6212. And also tell them Crossroads Sports sent you, and you know what I'm saying? they're not gonna give you an extra, but they're not gonna get an extra like that. But like I said, man, they are looking for, all jokes aside, they are looking for drivers, and it's a great company, up and coming local company, and like I said, and the benefits, all those things that kind of come with, you know what I'm saying, are available. So again, Three Wiseman Logistics is hiring.
Okay, we are back. If you're listening now or watching on the Facebook live stream, Facebook's having some issues with their live feed tonight. I just got a notification that they're having problems. So I don't know if the feed's up or not. I hope it's still up on Facebook Live. If not, you can catch the audio in the podcast when it comes out, and we'll talk more on there. But, yeah, I just got a notification, John. But speaking of notifications... I got breaking news, John, before we bring Tamika on. Breaking news out of the association, as I like to call it, the association. The Brooklyn Nets are now actively seeking a trade for Kyrie Irving. It's pretty much reached its end where Kyrie not getting vaccinated, not going to be practicing, can't play in any home games. Until he's vaccinated. Then he said he was going to. Now he's not. Kevin Durant's been fed up with it. And, like, listen, dude, you've been a head case anywhere you've been. And now all of this going on, and the Nets said, you know what, you're not going to practice. I thought it was a coward way initially for the Nets to pay off and say, yeah, well, Kyrie can practice in our private facility because it's not actually with part of the New York State mandate. And then they're coming back and saying, you know what, we're not even going to have you practice or play any games. It's not even worth it. So now the Brooklyn Nets are actively seeking a trade to get rid of Kyrie. I think to simplify it, you take Kyrie Irving, you trade him to Philly, you take Ben Simmons, you fit him back into Brooklyn. You satisfy both teams, but it's not going to be that easy, I feel.
Well, it won't be that easy, man. Actually, you know what I'm saying, when we bring Tamika on, she's a big basketball fan herself, so maybe that might
I want to ask her about that.
But like, nah, man, that's unfortunate. I think he might have would have got a little bit of benefit of the doubt if he didn't take so many days off. If you think about it, with in the bubble, and you think about last year, not wanting to report, whose team was this, whose coaches, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is a history of knuckleheadedness with Kyrie Irving, and I kind of respect, you know what I'm saying, his stance on not being told by the government or whatever entity that you got to get vaccinated. But, and I think the Brooklyn Nets did too. But at some point you have to kind of cut bait because he is who he is, and he's going to do what he wants to do, and there you are. So wow, that's a shocker there.
Honeymoon is over there in Brooklyn. So. Not the other honeymoon, but go ahead, John. This is such a special guest. I'm going to go ahead and let you do the intro for it.
This is such a special guest, man, just because this is Tamika Borders is a Ball State alumni, and on top of many other things, she's also an all-time great track star. They no track average, ain't no, you know, track star from Ball State University, and she's also my fiance. So so this, like I said earlier on in the show, the nepotism rate is about to go up real high on this particular show. But like, no, man, Tamika, thank you for coming on, and welcome to the show.
Hi, JB and Brandon, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I wanted to bring Tamika on because me and her kind of talk about sports a lot, right? And, you know what I'm saying, we always talk about how ESPN back in the 90s used to feature more track and field, and how other, you know what I'm saying, other sports, I don't want to pick on ESPN, not right now, right? But how even other sports
TV shows used to pick on. That's why she's laughing. Right, other sports shows used to show more track and field, more tennis, more of the other sports not named NFL, NBA, and whatnot. And it has kind of gone away from that. So again, that's kind of why I want to bring her on. She, of course, she can speak to track and field. You know what I'm saying, to all of us, kind of green, blue in the face. So, but Brandon, I've been trying to get her on since the Olympics, since July. She's so busy. Right? So, Tamika, thanks for coming on. I have to ask you some things, Brandon, I don't even know, right? What and when and how did you know that I will get to how you got the ball saved, but how did you personally get involved, period, within track and field?
Well, honestly, it was in elementary school, and I was in gym class, and you know how you have races in class, and so the gym teacher, we were racing, and I guess mm-hmm. I was just faster than everybody, so I was beating the boys and everything, and he said, do you run track? I said, no. He's like, well, you need to run track, and so I went out for the team in middle school and been running ever since.
So how does one go from elementary school track and then to high school track to become a high school standout? Can you talk to me a little bit about, do you have to have a lot of self-motivation, or is there one particular person that kind of help you, cultivate your talent once you got to high school?
Yeah, period. I mean, you have to have some self-motivation because it is an individual sport. I mean, it's a team sport, mm-hmm. but it's more individual, because they have individual events. So, really from middle school to high school is where I really had my first mentor as far as like a coach. And her name is Miss Deborah Jackson, and she also competed, at a higher level. She competed in college. She ran against the likes of like Evelyn Ashford and people of those nature. So she instilled a lot of confidence in me when I didn't mm-hmm. have it in myself, because she saw something in me that, I didn't see. I didn't know that I had. And I remember a particular time we were in the Gary Conference, the conference championship, and she told me, she said, you can beat these girls. She said, you just have to go out there and do it. She said, you have the talent. And what did I do? I went out there and I won. So it's just you have to have a little bit of that support. And also, my family played a big role in,
okay.
supporting me, coming out to track meets in the rain and the snow and the cold. Just having mm-hmm. that, support there, my mother, my grandmother, my sister, brother, everybody, used to support and come out. So that gives you a little bit more, confidence. But like I said, you definitely have to have that one person, be it a coach or some type of mentor, that, pushes you to that next level. And when I got out of college, I had the same. Yeah, and I had the same with my track coach in college. I mean, he was an all-time great coach. I mean, he competed. He's the one who introduced me to the triple jump. So you just you have to have that little extra.
I was going to ask you, what's your favorite events? Or what was your main events you were competing in track?
My main events were the sprints, so I was a sprinter. I ran the 50, the 60. So my favorite race was the 60-meter dash, just because it's so quick. I just like speed. So uh-huh. it's quick, and there's no room for error. You get your block start, you get out fast, and then that's it. Your speed takes over. But I ran 50 meters, 60 meter, 100-meter, 200, 4x1 relay, triple jump, 4x4 at times. I got thrown in there. But I would say the sprint, probably the 60-meter, would have been my favorite race.
Okay. Yeah, in high school, I'm from a real small school originally. So we had, I don't know what happened. Somebody was hurt and somebody was sick. We didn't have enough. They asked me, and I'm more of a distance runner than anything. I can't even write fast, let alone run it. They asked me to do the 300 hurdles. I said, do what? The 300 hurdles. I went out there and just had fun with it. I don't even know what the heck I finished in there, but I was more of a distance guy, 1600, 3200, 4x8 relay. In college, they put me in the 1500 and then the 5,000, but they had me in the steeplechase. That's the first time I ever done it distance wise steeplechase. Let me tell you, I ate it the first time right into the pit.
That's a beast of a race.
Oh my gosh. I was not prepared.
That and the 400 meter hurdles. I always say That's a beast of a race. And shout out to, you know, another boss at Great Simone, Coach Smith, because she was an excellent 400-meter hurdler. And that takes a lot of, you know, strength and determination to run a 400-meter plus jump over some hurdles. So, yeah, it's a beast of a race.
And kind of like what John was saying, it's sad that really only every 2 years or, you know, mainly every 4 years, but every 2 years you see with the world championships and stuff, but the track and field doesn't get the acknowledgement, the coverage that it should. Obviously there's a lot more options now with sports on TV and other things on, but with streaming devices now, it's able to put it on a Peacock or on a ESPN app in there. But it's like America, not America, but the world all kind of hones in with the Olympics, with all the track coverage, the leading up, the qualifiers and things like that. Do we see it at all? I mean, I'm not sure what the ratings have been. I'm guessing they were probably pretty good. I mean, Olympics was pretty good, but like John said, I feel like we're just not getting as much coverage as we used to. And I think it's just because of all the different options, or I'm not really sure.
Yeah. The coverage has gone way down. I can recall there were times, like every weekend when track and field season was in, you'd have track and field on Saturday and Sunday on NBC, you know, like the NBC, ABC, where there's, you know, the PN relays, something overseas, or, you know, Diamond League. Now what they have, the Diamond League. But, yeah, you would see it every Saturday and Sunday. You know, you'd have track and field on. And the featured events would be, you know, the 100-meter, 200-meter, you know, 4x100 meters. And they would throw the distance in there every now and then. But I can't really pinpoint on when it actually, like, ceased. But now you only see it on ESPN, or you may catch it if you're, like you said, on the, like, the stream, you know, live stream or Facebook, and you see it, well, this track and field is going to be on NBC at this particular time. And then they only give you maybe a couple of hours. So then you're getting bits and pieces of. So I really would like to see it get back to that level. So that, you know, there'll be more awareness out there, and you'll have more, you know, you'll have more kids getting involved in it and seeing other sports, you know, saying other than basketball, football, which, you know, I love both of those sports. You know, track and field is always going to be near to my heart, but basketball, many people will be surprised that basketball is my favorite sport.
Yeah, I actually, John, here's behind the curtain. When I was going into my senior year in high school, I was looking at colleges to go run. I really wanted to play basketball, but I wasn't as good at that, unfortunately. So I was like, scholarship-wise, I got to do running. I actually was looking at Ball State for cross country and track, and going into my senior year, they got rid of the men's program there. So, they got rid of it. And I was like, so I actually ended up going to the USI for 2 years down there. Had a great 2 years down there, but yeah, I was just going to go Ball State early and do track and field there and cross country. They got rid of it because that damn men's volleyball program was so good there that they decided to keep that one, I guess.
Well, speaking of Ball State, right? So after high school and you have your handful of state championships and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to glaze over that, Brandon, because she got ribbons upon ribbons. Okay, let me tell you. Okay, that might have been date number two. I had, you know what I'm saying? We got to look at some of the ribbons from back in the day. I'm just being honest with you. But like, no. So like, what was it about? And I'm assuming a whole lot of different schools recruited you to come, you know what I'm saying, come visit and come see. What was it about Ball State that said, yo, this is where I want to be?
I'd gone down on a visit with another Ball State great, Jada Prothro Graves, and we competed against each other throughout high school, and we decided to link up and go to Ball State together. And so we'd gone down on a visit. It was like the campus. I love the campus. It wasn't too big, you know, it wasn't real small. And then my recruit visit when I went down, and of course Simone Kurt Smith, she was, you know, the person that I stayed with on my recruit visit. And it was just, I don't know, we made this kind of connection, and, you know, we talked about the team and the school there and the expectation and the coaches, and it's just really, I think that bond and connection is what I wanted, and so that's what made me make my decision. I was also, I mean, I was recruited by University of Kentucky, Purdue, Indiana State, some other southern schools, but I don't know. It was just that I made, I think, one visit to UK. I went to UK, but it was out of state. And like I said, I don't know, just the connection I had there, the feel I had of the campus and the coaches, that's what made me make my decision to go to Ball State.
So as an athlete at Ball State, what was some of your fondest experience as an athlete besides eating, you know what I'm saying, that good top, that good steak that they used to feed all the athletes? I'm just joking. What were some of your fond memories as an athlete at Ball State?
Fondest memories are really when we would travel, you know, we had a close-knit team. Mm-hmm. We were all, you know, a lot of us easygoing. You know, you have a whole bunch of personalities, but when we went on our trips, I mean, you know, traveling on the bus down to Tennessee or Alabama and staying in the hotels and just, you know, bonding and going out there competing and supporting each other and just having the experience of visiting these different states and different schools, meeting different people, having right. different experiences, competing against different people. I would say that was the most of it. And just being at practice, this is where they were tough, but, you know, we always found a way to get through it and, you know, push each other, help each other out, lifting weights. I mean, we just had fun, basically. Like I said, we were a tight, you know, tight group, and we brought the first championship to Ball State indoor and outdoor for track and field. That's it.
Well, I know when you left Ball State competing in 1996, you were like number one in several categories. I think you were number one in like 200 meter, in the 200 meter, I think you were the school 200 meter record holder. I think you also was a 100 meter record holder, and you might have been second or third, I think. I can't remember. Shame on me. I'll get in trouble later.
Come on, John, you're losing points.
I think you was like second or third in triple jump. All right, now. I think some of the, I mean, obviously, you know what I'm saying, that's been over, you know what I'm saying, some 20-something years ago. I said all that to say that, one, I didn't know, Brandon, that there's life after for a runner, for a track and field, for there's professional racing. So, like, how did that, all that kind of come to play?
So I, after graduation, I went back home for a little bit. Gary, Indiana, of course, is where I'm from. Shout out. I still kept close in close contact with some of my friends that were still down at Ball State that were running on the track team, and I was still connected with my Coach Kelly Lykin. And so he gave me wind of a track club that was based here in Indianapolis called the Indiana Invaders. And so I decided that I wanted to still compete. You know, I'm a competitor at heart. So, I mean, I love to run, would love to compete in track and field, and I want to further that, try to make it to the Olympics is basically what was my goal. And so that's how I got wind of this track team called the Indiana Invaders. So I moved to Indianapolis to compete with this team, professional team. We were sponsored by Nike. I would have had a longer career, but, you know, injuries knock you out.
Right.
With a few injuries and one that I really couldn't bounce back from. But that was an experience for me, and I truly love that experience. And thank my coach for even putting me on to that. There's life after track and field, college track and field.
Like I said, I learned something new. Like when you first saw it, I said, running professionally, what do you mean? So, okay. Like we kind of alluded to when we first brought you on, you are a big sports fan. You know what I'm saying? I know Brandon, I'm not going to say she has a cold. I don't want to get her in trouble. I don't want to say she got cold allegiances to the Chicago Bears. And
oh, no.
Coach, but Brandon, she kind of got cold allegiances.
John, how?
Well, Tamika, I don't want to speak for you. So
you're tongue-tied.
Of course.
Well, I'm born and raised in Gary, Indiana, so, you know, we're close to Chicago. So I'm a Chicago Bears fan, you know, at heart. You know, I catch slack for it sometimes here, but I do cheer for the Colts, but I'm always Chicago Bears number one. I'm going to be a Chicago Bears number one fan all the time. Chicago Bulls. I did beat the Bulls and went to the Lakers when Phil Jackson left the Bulls and went to the Lakers. So I'm still a Laker fan, Kobe all day, favorite basketball player of all time. I'm Chicago Bears fan.
Okay. Well, we'll let that. I like that. That's okay. How frustrating because we haven't had a Bears fan actually come on and talk to us yet this year, John. I think they've been, some of them have been scared. So I'm glad you came on, Tamika. What's it? Yeah, that's a ricochet shot for some people. What's it been like just with the Matt Nagy situation on Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, and he just won't come out and say it. Does the guy even really want to coach? As a Bears fan, tell us, how has this been for you this year?
Well, it was honestly for me, it was frustrating at first because, I mean, Justin Fields, I followed him at Ohio State, of course, and all throughout.
Wait a minute, she's not an Ohio State fan, is she?
No, she's like college football.
Okay.
I just like college football. Yeah, I just like college football. And I thought he was an elite athlete, you know, at the quarterback. So, of course, I follow him a little bit. And so I was excited when the Bears drafted him. And just to see him in preseason, I'm like, he's ready. Of course, you know, he's not going to be ready until he gets into the game. But said he's ready. But when they started Andy Dalton, I was kind of scratching my head like, what's going on here? So
right.
He gets, you know, Nagy puts his explanation out there. Well, you know, I don't think he's ready yet. Won't want to get him deemed up and all that. So Andy Dalton goes down. And then he has to put Justin Fields in the game. Now, the first game that he started, it was absolutely frustrating because offensive line wasn't protecting him. I don't know if Nagy just wasn't used to Justin Fields as a quarterback in his system, but his play calling was horrible, and he was just getting the young man hurt.
Right.
So, but, you know, so the next game, to me, I think that he kind of corralled that a little bit, and he saw the type of quarterback he was, and so he designed some more plays for him, which worked out better for the entire team. It looked like a totally different team in that next game. And so, I mean, I'm excited. You know, I'm not saying they're going to Super Bowl or anything like that or winning playoffs and all that, but I'm excited in the direction that they're going. I think the kid has a bright future. And, you know, we got good running backs, and once they get the little offensive line a little bit more together, I think it'll be promising for them.
Okay. Right before we brought you on, me and John were talking the breaking news with Kyrie Irving. The Nets are tired of it. They're sending him, putting trades out for him. What's your take on this whole situation with Kyrie and Brooklyn?
I was, when you said that, I was listening to the breaking news. I'm like, oh, wow. I was wondering why it didn't come up sooner.
Yeah.
Kyrie is a different breed, of course. I mean, he's talented beyond. I mean, I love his game. I love his gameplay. But he gets political and basketball intertwined a little bit too much for me. And it takes away from his game, and then it hurts his teammates. But I think that would be the best thing for him to trade him and try to get something for him. I heard mentioned of Ben Simmons, which would not be a bad fit, but I don't know if even if he goes to another, like, is another team going to want to take him on with these issues that he has?
Right. Well, to make
that's the question.
Let you go. Right. Before we let you go, I know, between everybody on the phone, she's probably also the biggest WNBA fan as well. Who you got tonight between the Skyforce and the Mercury?
And the Mercury. Honestly, I'm pulling for the Sky. Of course, you know, I'm a big Candace Parker fan.
Right.
I like Taurasi too as well. But I think the Mercury is going to bounce back tonight. I think they'll win. They'll win tonight. So, yeah, I think it'll be tied 1-1.
Okay.
But I will be watching.
Sounds good. Hey, keep Jonathan in check with his Twitter account. He's starting wars on having to join him.
Definitely, I will try. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. Big fan of the show.
Thank you. You can come on anytime.
All right. Will do.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tamika.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Tamika Borders joining us, Ball State alum, Ball State track superstar. Good to have her on.
Brent,
John.
Brent,
yeah.
She's my favorite. She's my favorite Ball State athlete of all time.
She better be.
I said it before we even started dating. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't going to put her on the spot and ask her that. Well, she,
I didn't want to ask, but did you know her back in college?
I did. We dated different people.
Hey, it's all right. You got to date different people to find the one you want to be with. So there you go.
Correct.
So, John, I got so much I want to talk about. We talked. We only have 30 minutes left in the show. We got Tanner come on in at 7:40. MLB, real quick. ALCS is set. Houston Astros, they're going on. They're taking on the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox knock out the number one Tampa Bay Rays. Astros, I put on Twitter the other day, and then I started getting a lot of tweets back. Are the Rays the new Yankees? Because this is their fifth straight ALCS now that they've made it to. And that's, talk about cheating or not, whatever. But they are in there, Astros and Sox. We've got the Braves who knocked out the Brewers last night.
Yep.
Freddie Freeman hit a home run in the bottom of the eighth, which was awesome. And tonight we have a huge game five, the best two teams in baseball, which they need to reset the playoffs differently so this doesn't happen. Dodgers, Yankees, game five, or Jesus, Dodgers, Giants, game five in San Francisco tonight. This is going to be a great one. I'm going to watch that whole game tonight. I'm going to stay up and watch it. But it should be really good. I can't wait. I'm going to pull for the Dodgers in this one. I think the Dodgers are going to win it. So Reggie Sykes, there you go. I think they win, but if they don't, then I'm taking the Giants to win the whole thing, because if they can knock out the Dodgers, they're going to win the whole damn thing.
Right. I just wanted to chime in about the Houston Astros, man. You know, they took it on the chin, and rightfully so, the last two, three seasons, right, since the whole cheating. That locker room just kind of, you know what I'm saying, they want to prove themselves as that, you know what I'm saying, and distance themselves from all those allegations. I know there's a little bit of carryover from those folks that were on that team that quote unquote cheated or whatever. But like now, that locker room is convinced they kind of want to distance themselves. So I can't root for them. You know what I mean? When it comes to baseball, I really don't have a team too much anyway. You just want to see exciting series. You know what I'm saying? You want to see something go the distance. So it's good to hear. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I know you don't necessarily like it. You know what I'm saying? With the San Francisco Giants and the Dodgers playing, you kind of want that later, that particular matchup later down the road. But it is. You know what I'm saying? It's a raise boost for them. You know what I'm saying? For Major League Baseball. And you kind of got to like Atlanta making it. You know what I'm saying? I know they dip their toes in and out of the playoffs. They're not necessarily the Atlanta Braves of the 90s just yet, but you know what I'm saying, where you can fully say that they're back 100, you know what I'm saying, to be, you know what I'm saying, scaring teams, but they're back. I mean, they are back as well. So some good stories coming out of Major League Baseball. I know it's something that you know what I'm saying, shame on us that we don't necessarily cover from week to week, because it's not like the drama that it is, you know what I'm saying, basketball and football and some of the other sports. I think that might be the case with track and field. You know what I'm saying, there's not a whole lot of drama. I mean, they kind of people that don't know about, because media companies, that's what they kind of sell everybody on. But like, no, man, I'll be on it tonight, flipping back and forth. Hopefully I'll keep the pitch count so that if I do start talking trash and somebody wants to, you know what I'm saying, question my tweet, I don't get in trouble again like I did Monday night. So I'll be watching tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, to give everybody an updated odds, DraftKings odds have updated today to win the World Series. The favorites all season, just to put a note out there, the favorites all season were the Los Angeles Dodgers. Okay, it's a repeat.
Right.
Win the World Series. The new odds came out today, and it's now Astros plus 200. The Astros are now the favorite to win the World Series, which I think is interesting. Astros are plus 200. The Dodgers are plus 330. The Red Sox are plus 400. The Giants are plus 450, which I think is excellent value, that they are they had the most wins, best team all baseball, and they're the fourth-ranked team to win. I might put something on the money line for them just to win the World Series right now, because if they win tonight, those odds are going to go down. I guarantee it. So, and then the Braves are plus 550. But I just thought that was a little bit of a shocker there, seeing that. I like the Giants' value. If somehow they win, I think I may just put some money. You know, a $10 bet will get you 45 if the Giants win the World Series. So, something to look forward to if you want to put something on it. John, let's see. Walking Dead, real quick, before we go to college football. We got a couple minutes. Walking Dead. Now, what's your thoughts of the Pope? He's got to be one of those big characters.
his people are wild.
Yeah.
And how he runs them, and you know, saying that immediately they don't greet you with even a hi or a handshake. They greet you with a slice to the face. So I haven't totally caught up, so no spoilers, you know what I mean, just yet.
Ooh.
I know this, you know what I'm saying, it's like, but yeah, his people are wild. It was kind of odd for Eugene and his little group, his group that split off from the pack to basically get, you know what I'm saying, get acclimated into the Commonwealth, which I thought they were going to get euthanized, by the Commonwealth. So we'll kind of see how that is, where the story goes. But like, man, last season of The Walking Dead, man, you know, it kind of drags a little bit, you know what I'm saying? You know, and I get
it goes all the way to next year.
Yeah, it's kind of just dragging us a little bit, but you know, I still enjoy it. Maybe not honestly enjoy it like season one. You know what I'm saying? That like when I was on the edge of my seat type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because now, Brandon, you expect somebody to die. But if the names ain't Maggie Negan.
I don't.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody who's been there, you know what I'm saying, for a while, you know they ain't going to die. But, like, anybody else is subject to a pink slip.
Okay. John, I watched in one day, basically. I watched the entire game show on Netflix. I was hooked. Hooked.
You
I didn't think I would like it. I did. Watched it in one day, pretty much.
With the subtitle? Or you watched it with the dub?
I watched it with the English. They were doing the English voices, which it didn't match up with the voices, obviously. But I was told I need to look at it the other way because it's a lot more emotional and better.
Correct.
The way with the subtitles. So, but I thought it was a great, great, great show, great story.
Yeah,
messed up ending.
I watched 10 minutes with my daughter. I said, "You need to turn this off."
You let her watch that? Oh
man,
my god.
Better to watch it with your parent than with yourself, and you can kind of explain some things, man. You know what I'm saying? Not like me, Brandon. When I was a little kid, I used to, you know what I'm saying, as soon as my parents go to sleep, I was on Skinamax.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I also shout out, I'm a big horror movie buff, so Halloween Kills comes out this Friday. Can't wait. Peacock or the movie theater. Also, last night, the new TV series Chucky is out. So I thought that was great. It was good, John. I don't know if you're a big Chucky fan back in the day, but good stuff.
I like Jason. I like Michael Myers. I like Freddy. You know what I'm saying? I kind of like those, if you're talking about, you know what I'm saying, over-the-top Halloween movies. But, yeah, I'll check it out.
Okay. Speaking of a Halloween horror show, the Philadelphia 76ers and Ben Simmons. There's a reunion, apparently. Ben doesn't want to keep losing money, so he says, "I'm going to show up."
Yeah, I listened to some media guys kind of talk about Ben Simmons this past week. For anybody thinking that you want to bring him, he's, again, all these guys are special. They all have their own agendas. You know what I'm saying? For anybody thinking he is a piece to a missing puzzle that can get you over the top or anything like that, or something that you can build around, regardless of what you think about him being a great jump shooter or free throw shooter or whatever, he still has tremendous talent, you know what I'm saying, rebounding the ball, you know what I'm saying, passing the ball, and he's a good defender. Those things are true. But the temperature of in Philly is like, man, he wants to be paid, which he is paid. He wants to and he wants to be famous off the court, and in none of those three scenarios I said anything about winning a championship. So he doesn't, if that's not that he wants to lose a bunch of games and be on a lottery team at the lot, you know what I'm saying, anything like that, but he's not necessarily going to push himself to be, you know what I'm saying, crazy, like, you know what I'm saying, we've known other players in the past, Michael Jordan, you know what I'm saying, with the weights in the summertime, or you know what I'm saying, Isaiah Thomas with a broken ankle going out there and play, or Kobe Bryant, who, you know what I'm saying, who basically told the Lakers to trade Shaq, or he wasn't behind.
Right.
He's not that guy. He's not that guy to necessarily push himself or push his talent to the limit to win a championship. So the Philadelphia 76ers do know that they have an ultra-talented player And then I also, if the Philadelphia media knows that, then everybody in the NBA kind of knows that as well. So that's probably the reason why a trade didn't happen between them and Golden State. Because teams have talked about Ben Simmons, Brandon. You know what I'm saying? They have. You know what I'm saying? They remember back in the summer, there was the Pacers rumor.
Right.
And when, you know, I remember it probably wasn't going to happen because he's too a diva. He is. You know what I'm saying? This ain't mine. If y'all thought Paul George was a diva and that Victor Oladipo a diva, this dude is a real diva. This dude is you told me before, he's dated a Kardashian before. You know what I'm saying? And we all know what kind of comes along with that reality show type of feel. So, but there's teams that they have inquired about him because he's an ultra-talented basketball player. But if you're a winning team, if you're a team that's trying to win, period, trying to get to the playoffs or trying to build something to get to a championship, like he probably won't necessarily be your flavor. So, he also didn't want to continue to lose money, right? So he showed up and reported. So we'll see. We'll see if there's a, you know what I'm saying, a middle of the season type of deal before the trade deadline in February, or we'll see if, you know what I'm saying, by before next week if he gets traded to a different team. So,
okay. What was I going to say? Crazy enough, John, NBA starts next week. We talked about, and then college basketball starts in 4 weeks. 4 weeks, first game. So
that used to be the other way around, man. It used to be the NBA didn't start right. Like October, the end of October, like the very end of October, if not November the 1st. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then college basketball, we would already had, you know what I'm saying? Well, I think we had Midnight Madness, but we haven't. We would already had Midnight Madness, and, you know what I'm saying, the season would have kind of started. So things have kind of reversed. Me personally, Brandon, I think it's I'm not one of these people that wants the NBA season to start in December on Christmas Day. That's unheard of for me.
Right.
But people kind of want it. But that means you're going to also have a shortened season. I don't believe in that either. But I also think that the season should start in the middle part of October. But it is what it is.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry, I'm not trying to rush you. I'm just trying to get through everything before we bring Tanner on for our picks. Hey, I talked about this beginning of the season when we were looking at the college football schedule, and I said, John, there are some saves that there's some games here that make me nervous. And that game was going to be Alabama going to Texas A&M, taking on the Aggies. And Roll Tide, Roll, they went in there, the number one team, and they got rolled by Jimbo Fisher. And that Aggies, John, you know it. You can say it. It's like a LeBron thing. I said, I think Alabama loses at Texas A&M. I said it.
You did say this. You did say this. Brandon Reed did say that on an episode. It's like 10 or so episodes before this one. I didn't necessarily not believe you then. I just, when I saw the Aggies basically lose two games the last 2 weeks before playing Alabama, I'm like, gosh, this team ain't gonna beat Alabama, no way. Now they rolled, like they came in there. Now Texas A&M came in hot the first three games, I do believe, blowing out folks. Not necessarily a cupcake schedule, by the way. Not necessarily, you know what I'm saying,
right.
Schedule, you know what I'm saying, but it's like not necessarily a cupcake, but And then they lost, they went flat. I do believe they lost to Mississippi State, which is, you know what I mean, that's a no-no, you know what I mean. But they stepped up to the plate. I shame on me. Maybe you listen to the show. I called Jimbo Fisher last episode a snake oil salesman because I thought he was a liar, and he took money. He took Texas A&M money and fooled them twice, leaving Florida State twice, coming over. This is a big win. And, you know, that's a different part of the story. Can they continue into ascend, you know what I'm saying, try to make the SEC more of a challenge? That remains to be seen because, again, they played a hell of a game against Alabama, getting to the quarterback and basically kind of making the offensive line a strength of Alabama this year look, you know, like the Detroit Lions front line, to be honest with you, man. Great win by the Texas A&M program. Alabama still has a chance. I think, what are they, fifth? Or six?
If they lose to Georgia in the SEC championship, it's over for them.
Well, I'm saying they can jump back into the top four.
Not if you got two losses.
Well, no, right. I'm saying because they got to play Arkansas and they still got to play Auburn in the Iron Bowl. There might be another little tough one there.
LSU.
I don't think. I, but I, yeah, man,
not saying they'll beat them, but they play them.
Right, but yeah, they usually play them tough, but they have an opportunity to jump back if Georgia has a bad game, which I don't foresee
that
happening.
They look so good, John.
Right, Georgia plays Kentucky this weekend or the weekend after, and though Kentucky is ascending themselves, they ain't good enough to beat Georgia. Like I said 3 weeks ago, 3 shows ago, Georgia's the best team in America.
I was impressed with Georgia this past weekend. Again, the defenses are, and you know, maybe looking back, some people were thinking, well, Georgia didn't look that good. They barely beat Clemson. And Clemson's not that good of a football team. Clemson's a fraud themselves, which they'll carry on. But I said Georgia, Oklahoma. Oklahoma's got a problem at quarterback, Spencer Rattler, who apparently there's video of him just being a conceited asshole back in the day. And then everybody else is celebrating the win, the big shootout against Texas, and he's just walking to the locker room. That's a problem if that's your main quarterback and he's doing that.
Yeah, I mean, they were down 35-3, I do believe. It might have been 35-7. Shame on me. I know somebody's going to come after me, but I don't know the exact score. Sorry. But you talk about teams that are fraud. How Texas doesn't close to seal the deal. That was an epic game. It was at the Cotton Bowl. Some people can say that's a spot. You know, it's not necessarily a home game for Texas, but it's in Texas, right? But they had Oklahoma crowd there you would have thought it was Oklahoma. A home game. But that was an epic game. They made the stops to come back. You know what I'm saying? Texas still put up points, you know what I'm saying, to try to keep the comeback from happening. But once that momentum happened, once the momentum quarterback switch, and once the momentum, it seemed like he lost his locker room. On the field. I'm thinking, like they went to the true freshman quarterback, and he had lightning in a bottle. Does he have the poise to continue this to the Big 12 championship and potentially to the national championship game? That remains to be seen. We've seen a lot of great freshman quarterbacks, him being one, and in a short sample, and even the kids who got hurt from USC, and even the Bryce Young in Alabama, and even the other young gun they got in Ohio State. There's some young great quarterbacks, like freshman quarterbacks, right now. I think the reason why head coaches kind of put a pause on it because they know they mature, they can't necessarily handle, you know, saying tough games. I don't know if Spencer Rattler gets his job back, and he had Heisman, you know what I'm saying, he was riding that Heisman type of, you know what I'm saying, run, you know what I'm saying, with Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying, but like I don't know after that Texas, that's the big problem game they got to carry over. I don't know if they. I don't. He said he should. If he's being a spoiled brat about it or pouting about it, you know what I'm saying. No, but that was, like I said, that was an epic game, and like I said, Oklahoma, you know what I'm saying, came back and won it in dramatic fashion.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I don't think he gets back. Lincoln Riley has not named a quarterback, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be the freshman that's going to be playing. You might as well go with it now. Let old boy go in the transfer portal and do whatever. John, our rankings are out. I, for some reason today, was so busy. I was supposed to be off today, and I ended up working. So I didn't get to upload the pictures onto the Facebook Live. But our top 10 rankings, John, we both have Georgia. I've moved Georgia up to now number one. We both have Iowa at number two. But, John, I think you're going to be in agreement with me. I'm just moving up because they won and they win, but do I feel comfortable about Iowa being the number two team in the country? Do I feel like they are? I don't, but that's where they're at right now.
Right. Offensively, they're not real sexy. You know what I'm saying? They do get the job done on the ground more so than so in the air. They had, I said it last year, a little bit underneath what Georgia does, but nah, man, they're not a strong number two. But guess what, Brandon? They got cakewalk the rest of the season, so we'll see what kind of happens with the
Big
Ten.
And I think they got bailed out. If Penn State's – if Clifford didn't get hurt and that the backup quarterback was worth a shit, Penn State would have beat them. Here's the thing. Penn State's backup quarterback – backup quarterbacks don't stay at schools anymore. They just go and transfer. Penn State's backup quarterback, they still would have won if it was the original backup quarterback. He's now starting quarterback in Kentucky. So,
right.
So, I mean, you know, it's and Alabama doesn't even have a backup quarterback right now, if you look at it, to be honest. So, let's bring on our backup quarterback, Tanner Penrod's back. Tanner, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Good to be back on the show. Good to be back on here. Maybe we can get got burned on a couple last weekend. Bad beats last week. But,
yes.
Hey, I'm in here.
Yeah, bad beats. We both, all three of us had a push in the Penn State game. So I went 2-4-1. Jonathan went 5-1-1. Tanner went 4-2-1. I'm a dismal 22-27-1, which just means I'm not actually betting who I'm picking in these pick-ems because money-wise I'm doing all right. Jonathan's 31-18-1, and then Tanner's 26-23-1. So good there. We're only up and up from here on out. I think I need if Jonathan if you're betting Jonathan right now, you are you're taking those picks. You are making some money. So we'll see if it continues. Boys, I've got spreads as of, I think I did it Monday night or Tuesday morning. I believe Tuesday I did them. Ball State, -2.5. The Cardinals at Eastern Michigan. The Cards, I think they beat Western last week, right? Surprisingly.
They did.
I was shocked by that.
Oh, man, that would have been a good money line if you did that straight. You put that in the money line, I forget who else was a underdog. And I was you put that money line with the A&M game on the money, your bank account would be seeing a few commas in there.
Oh, yeah. I said last couple weeks I needed Ball State to show me something before I start taking them again. Gentlemen, they have showed me something. Give me Ball State -2.5.
I'm going to ditto. I'm going to ditto copy that right now. I say, yeah, send it all day. Chirp, chirp. It's coming in hot.
There you go. It's a very tall order for them to go into Eastern Michigan. I listened to a press conference today with Mike New. He was talking about looking at film while they're off because everybody's on fall break. Having them looking at extended film and getting prepared. I think they're trying to get their swagger back as far as they you know what I'm saying. I think they kind of went in a little bit too cocky, reading their press clippings and reading how great they were and still feeling that high of being MAC champions last year and winning a bowl game. So this group is a little bit more ground to earth right now, and they're back to working. They're back to putting the work in the locker room. I'm sorry, putting in the weight room and putting the work on the field. And I think Ball State wins a close one. I see why the line is 2, but I think Ball State wins a close one in Eastern Michigan.
Okay. Moving on to the second game, Purdue Boilermakers. The Boilermakers off a bye week at #2, Iowa. It's going to be a tough one up in Iowa, but 11.5 is the spread. I'll go first on this one. Give me Iowa, and I'll give you the 11.5. Boilers aren't going to be close in this one.
Jonathan, I'll go real quick.
Good.
Go ahead, Jonathan. I'll go last. Go ahead.
Isn't it one of them games like where remember that year Purdue beat Ohio State, one post to beat them? Isn't it one of them games that kind of gives you that fit? But that was in West Lafayette, and now
I was there for that.
Road.
That's when they beat Ohio State #2.
I think Iowa just might be a little bit too much for Purdue.
You don't think they'll be a letdown after the big win?
No, not they won't. You know,
who's Iowa got next week? Who's Iowa got next week?
I'll look it up as you're talking.
Pretty sure it's Wisconsin. And that's the game we can probably kind of – you might want to put a pause on. I'm not saying they're going to lose it, but that's my game we might put a pause on. But I think they roll Purdue.
They have a week off, and then they get Wisconsin.
If they had a trap game, I would say no. Wisconsin by 2 buddies. Easy. I mean, not Wisconsin. Iowa. Going to roll in there. That was my bad. I was going to roll Purdue. I mean, I don't even know.
Right.
John, you took Iowa, too, correct?
Coming back, too.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Iowa, two cutties plus.
Okay, so right now we're all in consensus picks. You know what this happens when you see it on TV. #20, Florida, -10 at LSU. LSU, if they've got any life in them left. Florida, 10-point favorite. Give me LSU. Coach O, let's see if you got anything you can lose by less than 10.
Oh, Brandon. Man, I was on Coach Ed Orgeron's, like, you can win, but he doesn't necessarily have, you know what I'm saying, his team is ultra-talented, but they're not buying it. They're not listening. They're not bought into what he's saying. They got some wins on their belt, but, you know, they still laid a flat one last week. So, man, Florida's going to beat them rolling.
I'm going to agree with Jonathan. I take Florida in this one. LSU just lost that booty or their #1 wideout for the rest of the season. I think they're in trouble. They
Ed's in trouble, yeah.
Yeah, he's in
trouble. Yeah, they're in trouble. Florida's going to come back with a rebound. They just got beat by Kentucky. Yeah, they're going to come in there hot. So,
okay.
Yeah, give me Florida.
Number 12, Oklahoma State at number 25, Texas. Texas, a five-point favorite after the performance last week. Jonathan, you're first up, then Tanner.
Man, you know I always thought Texas was a fraud, but I think another bigger fraud is Oklahoma State. Give me Texas.
Oh.
Hey, oh, yeah, I'm with Jonathan. I'll snap call that. Hook 'em horns. They shouldn't have lost that game last week. And I got screwed. That's one thing I haven't even got to have a chance to talk about. Last week, I was all over Texas, and you backdooring sons of guns, whoever took Oklahoma, you know you got out with one. Because the 3.5 on Texas.
I took
won.
The over.
The 3.5
so
on
I was
Texas
happy with that.
Was – The 3.5 on Texas was the bet, and that's all I'm going to say. So, yeah, give me Texas again.
I'll take Texas as well. I think they cover this. I was on the over, and that damn thing hit pretty much in the first quarter, so I was happy with that happening. Another SEC showdown, Auburn at number 17, Arkansas. Arkansas trying to bounce back after the throttling by Georgia. Arkansas minus 3.5 at home against Auburn. I'll take the Razorbacks.
I'll
Sounds
go in
good,
here
man.
Real quick. I've been right.
Great.
I'm good. Go ahead, Jonathan. You fire.
No, go ahead, Tanner. Go ahead, Tanner.
All right. I've been riding Razorbacks all season long, and so I'm not going to stop now. Razorbacks again. They got me a good one last week when they decided to go for two. As soon as I saw that coach pull up those two fingers, I said, that's a winner. So, yeah, let's go. Pig Suey, give me the fucking Razorbacks.
Oh, man. I was highly disappointed in the Ole Miss game so against Arkansas. This is the result. But at home, even though, like I said, Auburn's pretty good, at home I think the Razorbacks get it done. So give me Arkansas as well.
Okay. Let's see. So we've got the next one. Number 10, Michigan State. Are they frauds or not? 4.5-point favorites going to Indiana. What kind of Hoosier team are we getting off the bye? Jonathan. Actually, Tanner, you go first on this one.
Yeah, I've been fading the Hoosiers all year long, and I'm going to fade them again. So give me Sparty up. Give me the Spartans.
Ooh.
Give me the 4.5. I'll lay it Sparty all day.
Jonathan.
Man, I won't be able to walk in a Barber bar if I don't go with IU, man. So I'm going with IU.
I'm going to go with the Hoosiers. I'm going Indiana on this one. Not so fast. I had to make a switch one. All right. One of my favorite games, even though the spread doesn't look it, number 11, Kentucky at number 1, Georgia. Georgia, 23.5-point favorites at home against Kentucky. Jonathan, you're up.
Man, if this was Calipari's team, this is a basketball team, there's no way I would take Georgia. Maybe Calipari shows this football team the you know what I'm saying, the submarine and the airplane that he has in his backyard. But all that being said, man, there's no way. Kentucky's good. Kentucky is very good. Deserving to be a top-10 team. But like I said, Georgia mess around, beat the Colts. So I'm going with Georgia this weekend.
Okay. I'm going to go Georgia as well in this one. Oh, I just don't think Kentucky's offense – I watched it against Florida when I won that big bet, and it made me nervous, that offense. I don't think they can do it. Georgia's defense is just too good. So, Tanner?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go the underdogs are half.
Oh, right.
Ooh.
Give me the 23.5. Give me Kentucky.
That'd be chaos.
I don't know if it. A lot of points to cover, back to back, double digits high for Georgia to cover. Their defense is really solid, but I think
we got to roll. We got 2 minutes to wrap up these last two games. Number 5, Alabama, minus 17.5 at Mississippi State. I think Alabama comes out pissed off and covers this 17.5.
I'll go quick.
Give me Alabama.
The lines. Yeah, give me Alabama too. I took the first half too. The lines came out today -11. Roll Tide -11. Tide all day.
Last game I have for us, boys, number 13, Ole Miss. Minus. That's the lane train coming through, baby.
You're still on. Third time might be a charm for you, son.
Minus 3 at Tennessee going into Rocky Top. They're in the checkerboard. Give me Ole Miss minus the 3. They don't play no damn defense, but I don't care. Give me Rocky or give me Lane Train going into Rocky Top.
All right, I'll go real quick. Almost. I'm going to get on your Lane Train because, like I said, third time's a charm. You've probably swung and missed the last two times on them. I'll take L Train this time.
I'm gonna go the opposite way. I'm gonna say Tennessee upsets them.
Do you think Peyton Manning's back there quarterbacking for the Volunteers?
He's gonna say a speech at halftime. He's gonna say a halftime speech getting geeked up.
All right, Tanner, my guy, it's been a pleasure having you. Sorry we didn't have we had a huge show tonight, so we just got the picks in.
We got the picks in. Had some good banter, some good laughs in here. I'll check in with you guys via the Twitter this weekend, see how those picks are going. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk again next.
All right. Absolutely. Sounds good. Thanks, Tanner. All right, Tanner Penrod. I always love – that's my one of my favorite parts of the show is always the pick'em going through with it. So we almost had a consensus. One of these days, guys, we're going to get Jonathan aboard it. We're going to get him aboard that train. By the way, I saw a stat today, John. The top 10 most high-scoring games in the SEC conference in history, 7 of the 10 are Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss in history of the SEC. I don't think I have anything else, John. I think we hit almost everything. Game 5 tonight, Dodgers-Giants, can't wait. I'll let you do our wrap, and then I've got a special ending audio.
Sweet. Oh, wow. Man, we had a great show. I want to say thank you to our guest, Danny Bridges from the Indianapolis Recorder, and Tamika Borders from Ball State Track and Field All-Star, and nearest to my heart, right? But also, I want to thank those folks for coming on. I want to thank all our friends of the program for calling in. Fred Felton from the KFAB Connection, Tanner Penrod helping out with our picks. Still missing Reggie. Where you at? King of Trolls. Still missing D-Cott. Where you at? Mr. Vegetarian. Where you at? So when you listen to this show, man, you know what I'm saying, make sure you hit me up on Twitter or hit me up on the phone. Outside of that, man, thanks to all our sponsors, Mavericks Compass Motorsports. Thanks to our sponsor, Scott King Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Thanks to our third sponsor, Three Wiseman Logistics. Man, please check out all the services they have to offer. And guess what? Two of the three, both Mavericks Coast Motorsports and Three Wiseman Logistics is hiring. So anybody looking for a job, please, you know what I'm saying, check out, go to their website and fill out an application for sure. Outside of that, man, Brandon, what do you got for me?
Dan, 10 minutes in, and our guy, Dockage, has Grigson us to ad nauseum. I switched station, but between Clay Travis and Jim Rome, sharp-witted sports talk options limit, you wouldn't trade. You've been crying on here, three foolish men, hiding behind a fake name forever. Just stop. You're a fraud. Just stop.
You're a fraud, John.
A long time. Dan, Dockage, love you a long time, man. Everybody, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.